Thank you so much for the invite again. By the grace of God, why we'll be back 21st, I think, of April. A lot of things going on here at the church in between then, and we'll be certainly praying for the church. Our text today is, of course, Matthew chapter number 27. Would you look with me there? Matthew chapter 27. Got to do what?
Kids for Sunday school. Sorry about that. Anybody okay. Going to Sunday school?
Sorry. Well, I'm a kid at heart. Do I go too? I've never wondered, as a pastor, I always wonder, why do kids love to run in church? They just seem to love to run in church. I said, when they were kids, I said, now look, that's the 11th commandment. Thou shalt not run in church. But they just ignored me in it all my life. They just ran anyway. Matthew chapter 27, the Lord has died. He's been put in the grave. And here we're going to pick up the narrative on verse number 62, Matthew 27. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away. And saying of the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. You have the text. Pray with me briefly. Lord, we've read your word. I pray that our hearts might be prepared to hear from your word about the resurrection that you gave to us from the grave. Now, Lord, do a wondrous work in this church today. There's one here without Jesus Christ, not sure of their eternal destiny. They would trust thee before it's forever too late. Lord, for we who know thee, I pray that you would teach us about yourself. Draw us close to thee. Help us to see more clear than we ever have the work that you performed and did for us. We plead this in Christ's name. Amen. I want you to notice from the text, Pilate said, just now make it as sure as you can. Do everything you can to get it squared away at that tomb. It's very interesting to me. In fact, if you look how many times that Jesus Christ told his followers, we're going to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise again the third day. He tells them that over and over again. And it just seemed like it went right over their head. They didn't get it. But the lost people knew exactly what he said because they came to Pilate and said, that deceiver, talking about Jesus Christ, he said that the third day he was going to rise again. So we can't let that happen, because if that happens, his disciples will say they stole the body away, and that'll be worse than the first error. So we got to do something. So Pilate tells them, go to the sepulcher, make sure seal the stone, and set a watch. So what that means is they basically went to the sepulchre, to the grave. They looked inside, and he was there. Then they rolled the stone back and sealed the stone. Now, most of you think perhaps that stone was a big round stone. Not so. Picture that stone like a coin, like a half a dollar or a quarter. And it would be in a track, and they would roll that stone in front of the sepulcher. Then that crack between the stone and the wall there of the rock, they would seal that. There was various materials they could use. They could use some sort of wax, since the Romans knew how to make concrete or mortar. They would sometimes use mortar to seal things, and then they would take the king's ring, and in that soft wax or that mortar, they would press that ring into that mortar so that people would know this is the king's signet. He's ordered this. So if anybody opened it, they were in danger then of being in trouble with the government. So they said, now look, make it sure. So they looked inside. He was still there. Rolled the stone back, sealed it up, and then set a watch or sent guards there to protect that sepulcher. They did everything possible to keep him in the grave. But you can't keep Jesus Christ in the grave no matter what you do. Human efforts there are futile because Jesus Christ, of course, had the power over the grave. There's always been a battle over the body of Jesus Christ. Always. People have discussed that. What difference does it make if he doesn't come out of the grave physically? What if he just came out spiritually and like all the other religions and his influence just goes on and on in the lives of people? My friend, it makes all the difference in the world. He didn't come out just spiritually. He came out physically, to give a demonstration of his great power. You have to understand, if Christ is kept in the grave, then all religious beliefs are on the same level. What do you mean by that? Well, all religions do some good here in this world. All of them do, or else they could not exist. There's some earthly benefit to them, and the devil, of course, will take... The devil never disapproves of religion. His best work is done under the guise of it. Religion is a great tool for him to hide under. It gives his work respectability, if you will, if it's done under religious pretense. So the devil doesn't object to somebody being religious. His best work is, of course, done under religion. But under this, the resurrection doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is distorted by most seminaries in the United States. The American Baptist Seminary, United Methodist Seminary, all teach that Jesus Christ did not come out of the grave physically, that he had a spiritual resurrection. And that his influence and his teachings went on. My dear friends, the teachings of Jesus Christ will never save anybody. It takes the death and the resurrection to save somebody. Without question. So the fact is that the doctrine of the resurrection is distorted among modern day religion. But if If Christ is not only still in the grave, not only is distorted by people today, if Jesus Christ is kept in the grave, the devil has the final say and is the dominant force in this world. The main tool of the devil is death. Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 14 tells us that. His goal for you and I is to die, the devil. He wants us dead. Why does he want that? Well, after you and I are dead, our destiny is sealed. If you die without Jesus Christ, my friend, your destiny is sealed. There is no second chance. And so he promotes death, if you will. Your usefulness is sealed at death. You have no more chance to repent. You have no more chance to be converted. He promotes suicide. He does everything he can to get people dead. Man has never been able to conquer death. Now, it's strange as you get old. You young folks would not understand this, but I read every obituary every day in the Des Moines Register. You're my age, you're just glad you're not in it. But the fact is, I read it every day. And this is one statement that I read over and over and over again. They had a courageous battle with cancer. But they lost. Man has never been able to overcome death at all. It is always won. So if Jesus Christ is still in the grave, then death, my friend, is the predominant force in this world. And the devil is in control because that is his tool, death. If Jesus Christ is still in the grave, you have to understand, then there is no doctrine of the second coming. If Jesus Christ is still in the grave, there's no blessed hope. There's no thousand-year reign. There is no lion laying down with the lamb. All that is fiction if Jesus Christ didn't come from the grave. Even when Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper, in there you will find a hint that he's going to come from the grave and be with us again. When he said, I'll not drink this with you again until the kingdom of God. So there's a hint. Not only that, but in 1 Corinthians 11, we just read part of that passage. It says in there, eat this cup and drink this, and drink this cup, eat this bread and drink this cup, till he come. If you don't have a resurrected Jesus Christ from the grave, then you have no second coming of Christ. You have literally... You and I literally have no hope at all. And the Bible says, if only have hope in this world, we are of all men most miserable. How would you like to live the rest of your days for all eternity in a world like this? Are you kidding me? But our hope has to be more than that. But thank God. That is not the rest of the story. They tried to seal that tomb. They did everything to keep him there. But they could not keep that tomb, Jesus Christ, in the tomb because our sin debt was paid and death had no more call or hold on him. When Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ and committed suicide by plunging himself down over a cliff, as Acts chapter number 1 says. And he split in the middle and his bowels gushed out. When they needed to get a new apostle, one of the things that was mentioned was that this apostle must be one person who was witness of his resurrection. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ became a totally necessary, absolute necessary doctrine and truth. But Christ isn't in that grave. He has risen again. And that, my dear friend, listen very carefully, that makes all the difference in the world and puts the main theme of Christianity is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now hear me. The main theme of the gospel is the death and burial of Christ, dying for our sin. That's the main theme of the gospel. But the main theme of Christianity is the resurrection. We say, Pastor, how you can say that? Well, if you take the religions of the world, Islam, Buddha, Shintoism, take a pick and shovel and go to the grave of the founders of those religions and dig down in their grave and you will find bones there. The founders of those religions have no power over death. They might have taught well, but if the founder of a religion doesn't have enough power to come out of the grave, it's worthless, my friend. But you can go to the grave of Jesus Christ and you won't find him there because he had power over death. It is the main theme of Christianity and sets us apart from every religion in the world. Paul gives a whole list in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, the resurrection chapter. If you ever want to find out something about the resurrection, go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Since Christ came out of the grave, that means he's Lord, and that means that the devil must yield to him. The devil has power over death. But when Jesus Christ came from the grave, that means he had more power than the devil had. And in fact, the devil himself will suffer his penalty called death. And he will be separated from God for all eternity. Just what he wants you to have and me to have. And has caused millions of people to go through that. He himself will suffer that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God made us eternal beings. When Jesus Christ went to the grave, bearing our sin and died for our sin, when our sin was paid for, he came out of the grave because there was nothing more to hold him. You must get that great truth in your heart and mind. Since Jesus Christ came out of that grave, there is a second coming. There is a hope for the soul. There is a rapture of the church and a 1,000-year reign. Since Jesus Christ came out of that grave, that means that God was totally satisfied with the punishment that was instilled or placed on Jesus Christ. My personal opinion, this is personal opinion, the Bible does not say where sin, my sin and your sin was placed on Jesus Christ. It doesn't say. My personal opinion is at the Garden of Gethsemane when he began to sweat great drops of blood. And him starting to bear our agony. Maybe I told you this story once before. Don't know. Years ago, Donna and I were called to one of her relatives to Oskaloosa, Iowa, to a hospital. One of Donna's relatives there was a Down syndrome girl. She was about 30 years of age, and she was having kidney failure. And this was before modern day medicines and so forth. And that poor girl was in that bed shaking, suffering more than I'd ever seen anybody suffer. And on her skin was just a red kind of a color on her skin. And being inquisitive, I said to the nurse, "What's happening to her?" And she said, "Her kidneys are failing, and now the blood is starting to ooze out of her pores because they couldn't get rid of the poison any other way." It does not say in the Bible that Jesus Christ had a pale red tint to his skin. It says that he sweat great drops of blood. He was suffering the agony of your sin and mine. And he's beginning to take the punishment that we so richly deserve. And the agony of our sin so caused him to suffer. When they beat him on the back and the pain that he went through, when they plucked out his beard, that's not because of him. That's because of us. And the Roman government, as an instrument of God, punishing Jesus Christ in the way that we should be punished for all eternity. And when the last sin has been paid for, and the slate is clean, Jesus Christ says, "It is completed," or "It is finished." Remember what he said when he came? He said, "I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm going to look for you. I'm going to try to find you and call you to myself. I've come to seek and to save you." And when he's on that cross, he said, "It's completed." And at that very moment, it says that the veil of the temple was rent in two. That veil was 20 feet high. It was from reading, depending on which Jewish historian you read, it was between 4 inches and 6 inches thick. You couldn't pull that apart, even with animals. But the Bible says that veil was ripped from the top to the bottom. That God ripped open that veil And behind that veil was the Holy of Holies, where God dwelt. And when Jesus Christ died on that cross and said, "It's completed, it's finished, it's all taken care of," that veil was ripped open. And God says, "You're welcome to come in. It's open for you." Jesus Christ stayed in the grave 3 days. How come? That was so people would know that he was truly dead. If he'd have been resurrected that moment, they'd have said, "Hey, he never died." But to fulfill prophecy that he'd be 3 days in the grave, he stayed in the grave so people would know that he actually was dead and was resurrected. We have an invite, my dear friend. We have an invite from God Himself to come and dwell in His presence because the slate is clean. You know, my dear friend, sometimes we look at ourselves and we say, "But how could God have me in His presence? I am such a sinner." Remember this, my friend. You have an attorney, a defense attorney. For in 1 John chapter number 2 says, we have an advocate with the Father. That word advocate means attorney. In the Dutch, J-M, an attorney is advocaten. And you and I sin in the context of that verse. We can say, "Lord, here I just sinned again." And it says in the passage that we have an attorney who steps in for us and pleads our case and said, "You can forgive him because I paid for that sin that he just did. I paid for that. You took your punishment out on me. And so you can forgive Ron Vanderhart because that afternoon on that cross, that very sin was laid on me and I paid the price for it." He gives us an invite. Come. It's all been paid for. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter number 2, he says, 2 Peter chapter 2, he said that we forget that we were purged from our old sin. That we forget that. The slate is clean. He invites us there. And it's all because he rose from the grave because there was no more sin to pay for. If there was a jail on this platform and I was sentenced to jail, my debt to society, they would come and they would Jesus Christ was death, took death. And when there was no more death to pay for, it had all been paid. He was let out of death jail because he had paid his debt to God for us. You have, and I have, a resurrected Savior. And that makes all the difference, because that's our assurance that your sins have been taken care of. It's not just a day. We can change it into Easter bunnies, Easter eggs. You can do with it what you want in this secular age, but the Bible truth is, it is the theme of Christianity. We have a resurrected Savior, and if He's not resurrected, there's no use for you and I to meet. There's no use for us to even get together, because we have no hope. But we meet because we do have hope. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all, every kind of sin. And I invite you to come to Him. My sin is too great, you say. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for giving us the sign of the resurrection to know that we can truthfully trust Thee, because You did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Enable us, Lord, to love You with all our heart. Thank You for this day. If there's a heart here without Christ, may they come to know Thee. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.